It's Wednesday. Some people still call it hump day, but it is the middle. Thank you. We try to keep everyone employed. It is the middle of the week, and for some people, that means they're over the hump into the weekend. But look, who wants to live and put up with 5 days of work just till the weekend, and you can say, oh, now I'm happy. Be happy. Choose happiness. Choose gratefulness. It will make your life so much better. As the team certainly knows, Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason, queen of the switches and trainer extraordinaire with Andres Hyde, and Rich Luzinski, keeping track of our WJR traffic and weather first. Relentless Positive Radio, wishing you a happy birthday. Because you think no one's around to know it's your birthday. I'm telling you, happy birthday for anyone celebrating today, which would include MDOT's Diane Cross.
Oh, happy birthday, traffic boss.
The traffic boss.
Remember, she
Diane Cross.
She used to do traffic on her station as Diane Cross, the traffic boss. She's manifested it.
Well, she's smart. I hope that she's got T-shirts made and she's making money off of that.
She should.
Somebody should. So happy birthday, Diane Cross. You do a great job. You know, before Christmas, I'm eating something, not even something hard, and I feel I'm chewing, and I go, what's in my sandwich? And it was part of my tooth.
Oh, my goodness.
I broke a tooth that long ago, before Christmas. I just had it addressed yesterday.
So were you living in pain this whole time?
No pain whatsoever.
Oh.
A very sharp tooth in the back here, you know, in the back of my, on the right side, in the back of my mouth.
That's
I avoided it. It's amazing how you learn to avoid things like that.
Right. Now you got to find a new way to open cans.
Not ever was that ever on my list of things to do. Thank you very much, though. But I have to tell you, it reminded me of, A, how much better dentistry is now and how pain-free it can be. And we all used to be afraid to go to the dentist, and we should not be anymore. And it reminds me that in all of our health care, all aspects of it, we should find the best we can find and cultivate a relationship with them and be their person instead of going to different people all the time for whatever. And I've got the greatest dentist ever. And the beauty is she is the daughter of my original dentist.
The family business.
I love the passing of the baton of a family business. So thank you, Dr. Allison Everett Elston, and your fabulous dental assistant, Denise. The two of them worked over my mouth like fine-tuned mechanics or surgeons or anybody who's really good at what they do. They're really good at what they do.
Did they ask you a whole bunch of questions while they had all the tools in your mouth? You go,
no,
they're
very... They're very aware that I might like to talk. Go figure.
Right.
Talk show host. I came out of the womb talking, but I also had a goatee. But anyway, they know when to talk, when not to talk. And they were fast and painless. And I thought I was just going in for it to be looked at, to come back and have them fix it. They fixed it right then and there because they know what my schedule's like.
All right.
So God bless Dr. Allison Everett, Elston, Denise, the whole team there at Healthy Point Dental, family dentistry, adults and children. Now, the reason that you listen to the show, you might not have known this, is the payoff of your host being a really pretty good observer. I observe. I told you years ago that sorbitol is not good for you. I said that on the air. They could have sued me. They could have done anything they wanted. They just didn't want any more attention because now science is caught up, and you'll see in today's Detroit News and elsewhere. Oh, here it is, the Detroit News. Popular sugar substitute linked to liver damage. So all these poor people who for years in their iced tea, in their coffee, in their whatever, where they felt it needed to be sweeter, and, oh, we can't use sugar. Sorbitol. Finding liver damage. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If I ever find a fake sweetener that is healthy, I'll point it out. I have not yet found any fake sweetener that is healthy. One of the things we have to figure out is why someone decides to put sorbitol in things like even pills that you aren't going to suck on or chew. Why do you need the sweetener? Well, right. It binds it to. Well, find a different binder. Don't be putting in. That's why you have to look at the fine print. And now we are finding that more and more people are looking at the fine print. More shoppers are pausing in the grocery store to take a closer look at ingredient lists, especially since many products nowadays contain mysterious additives. And a lot of them have sorbitol or sucralose or any of those other things that you would never figure. Why would that be in there? A new poll suggests that those concerns are widespread. 77% of Republicans, Democrats, and independents now calling for large warning labels on ultra-processed foods. So there's one thing that the Democrats and Republicans agree on.
The start.
And I have to tell you, there is a new font out there called mini print. I'm just making this part up. It is what they print the other sources or the other ingredients in. It is print that is, I thought it was just me, you know, well, you're getting older, you can't see it. Nobody can read that mini print.
It's kind of like disclaimers on the radio being really fast, too fast for people to understand.
It's as directed. Yeah, I've been hired to do those, and I won't do them. And if anyone ever speeds me up, which they tried to do in the past, I go right after them. All right, have you ever... Oh, something coming up that's great. Season of Sparkle, the Capuchin Super Summer Celebration by the wonderful Ahe family. Ahe Jewelers presenting Season of Sparkle. It's coming up Saturday, June 13th, 10 days from now. An evening of celebration at Comerica Park held in benefit of the Capuchin Soup Kitchen. Is this the last time it's going to be known as Comerica Park?
I think it's
going to be Fifth Third Park?
Yeah, because I think they said after this season they're changing the name, so I think you're right.
So this is historic. The Ahe family donates all kinds of fabulous jewelry. It costs nothing to go to this party. Tickets are $5 each to win some of these incredible jewelry pieces, with 100% of the proceeds going directly to the Capuchin Soup Kitchen. You can get your tickets at phone or in person at Edmund T. Ahe Jewelers on Mack Avenue in Grosse Pointe Woods, or the Capuchin Soup Kitchen on Mount Elliott Street in Detroit. Or you can call Ahe Jewelers at 313-886-4600. 313-886-4600. Even if you can't go, these tickets for the raffle are fabulous at $5 each. The prizes are fabulous. And don't forget, they're back at Comerica Park for a night of celebration to benefit Capuchin Soup Kitchen. Ahe, Edmund T. Ahe Jewelers. It's Saturday, June 13th. Doors open at 7:30. Live music and entertainment featuring your generation in concert. Food and libations available. Fireworks show at dusk. Dressy summer attire suggested. 21 and over. It costs nothing to go to this party. Now, real quick. Did you guys know that there used to be a thing, and that thing was people for various charities would bid on the opportunity to go to lunch with Warren Buffett? You remember this vaguely? It hasn't been done for a few years.
No, but it makes sense.
Do you know how much that opportunity went for to go to lunch with the now former Berkshire Hathaway chairman, or maybe he's chairman emeritus or whatever. He stepped down from running the day-to-day operation.
I'm going to guess $2 million.
Danielle, anything you want to guess?
In my personal opinion, I would never give any money to that, but let's just go.
Wait a minute, it's for charity.
Yeah, but I'm not interested.
Okay.
I'm going to go $3 million because he said two.
Okay. How about $9
million? Wow.
$9 million, which goes to a charity, to have lunch with Warren Buffett.
If you go to a buffet, you'd be going to a buffet with Buffett.
They have a fine buffet. there. It's a fine buffet. Please wash your hands. By the way, in 2022, I think is the last time he did it, an anonymous bidder bid $19 million.
Wow.
Just one person?
One person.
Holy
price came down.
So things are bad for everybody, even the really, really, right. really rich people.
Right.
From 19 to 9. Ooh. But anyway, nice of Warren Buffett to donate his appetite. I mean, it beats him driving through the McDonald's drive-thru, which we've all seen now on social media, or at least I have. All right, we're underway. George Santos under investigation. Shocking news. Anyway, that's one headline. 12:15 at 760 WJR. Well, we just found out that Ryan is not going to be there, and I have to change all my pithy handoff notes. I said pithy handoff notes. All right, here we go. David Duilio, distinguished professor, political science department, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, is here. And professor, we got a couple of things going on here. Pretty fascinating election situation around the country, but all eyes have been mostly on what was happening in Los Angeles. I'm sorry to say, it's fascinating to watch Spencer Pratt advancing to the runoff election for mayor of Los Angeles. I hope that's happening. But it's really something to see that there were almost more people running for governor in California than voted.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul W.
Hi there.
As you know, California is a weird place.
It
politically,
is.
It is. They do a number of things very differently. You know, as you mentioned, the number of folks that were on the ballot, it brings to mind, probably 20 years or so ago now, there was a recall election in California for a guy named Gray Davis. He was the governor. And as you probably know, there are when there's a recall, there are two questions on the ballot. Should the incumbent be removed? And then if so, who should replace him? And in this recall effort, there were 137 people on that recall ballot, including Gallagher, the comedian, an adult film star, and the eventual winner, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my.
So it was quite the scene. But so probably not that many on the primary ballot yesterday. But still, as you mentioned, interesting results.
Like 61, I think, was the number, 61. And the likelihood of people even having a clue as to who those people were, or looking, frankly. Anyway, so is it a done deal? Is Spencer Pratt, the darling of the media, the right-wing media, or the conservative side, is he going to be in the runoff?
Well, we don't know. There's another element of California's interesting politics. There are a lot of votes left to be counted. And as I understand it, they don't start counting their absentee ballots until Election Day. So the last update I saw was in that race, only about a little more than 60% of the votes had been counted. I think Pratt's chances are quite good to advance to November. But as you know, right, Los Angeles, a heavily Democratic city. And the question is, are there enough votes, or can he attract enough votes to be elected mayor? I think his focus on competency and city services and budget priorities is about the only way that a Republican is going to get elected in that town.
Well, another way is, if the Republicans, and there aren't that many of them, but there are some, if the Republicans will turn out to vote, and many of them didn't even choose to vote yesterday.
Well, and that's sort of a curse of primaries, right, is that we always see low turnout in primary elections. And we'll see it here in Michigan when we have ours in August. And, the question now is, will those Republicans, should Mr. Pratt make it to the runoff, will they be motivated now to come out and vote?
President Trump has accepted an invitation to speak at the now rescheduled White House Correspondents Association dinner It's going to happen on July 24th. Do we know where it's going to happen?
I've not seen a location. It wouldn't surprise me if it was kept under wraps until the last minute. I mean, we even see candidates for office here in Michigan keep those event locations quiet until maybe a day or so before. So that, that could be the case.
I have to tell you, upon further review, Professor David Duilio with us, I should tell you that apparently it's rescheduled to be held at the Waldorf Astoria on Pennsylvania Avenue, which led President Trump to remind everyone that he built that facility. I'm shocked.
In a very Trumpian announcement, I'm sure.
I'm shocked he told anybody. I thought he would have kept that to himself. What am I thinking? Well, anything else going on, Professor? It's a wild and crazy time to be as a distinguished professor of political science and director for the Center for Civic Engagement at the fine Oakland University. Anything else on your mind, Professor?
Oh, there's always stuff on my mind, Paul W. I mean, from Iran to the fascinating U.S. Senate primary that we have here in Michigan on the Democratic side, always a bunch to think and talk about. I'll look forward to talking to you next time.
Well, did I tell you that there's a book two is out, book two of The Art of the Deal. Unfortunately, it's written in Iranian. So, did he laugh? I think he laughed.
I heard a laugh.
I heard a laugh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Professor. Thank you for being with us. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you. You too, Paul W.
Professor David Duilio, Distinguished Professor, Political Science Department, Director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University. We continue in Focus on WJR. Well, always enjoy speaking to our next guest because he is just so good at what he does. In fact, people from around the country and around the world call upon his expertise in areas such as the one we're about to talk about. He is Oakland County Sheriff Extraordinaire Mike Bouchard. And now we're talking a little bit about this bizarre case of the continuing search for Lynette Hooker, the Michigan woman who went missing in the Bahamas. It was quiet for a while, but it has restarted for a variety of reasons. We're going to get some of that information from Sheriff Bouchard right now. Michael, hello.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I am excellent. This case kind of, I'm going to say went cold, but it was never out of the minds and even hearts of many people, family members and such. But hang on one second. I just got a call there. Okay.
If it's pizza for me, take it.
It says, did you order double cheese, double pepperoni? That's my order, but no, I didn't order it. But anyway, obviously people have been wondering. Her husband was detained. I don't know if he was officially arrested. Then he was released. And then he said he wasn't going to leave the Bahamas. And then he left the Bahamas. He had a sick mother or something. I don't know what's going on. But now has this been called a possible foreign murder of a U.S. national? Or is that something new that has breathed new life into the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think having the federal agencies that are involved now, obviously from the law enforcement perspective, opens a whole lot of investigative capabilities and potential charges should they find something awry. The challenge is, obviously, if this person did intentionally kill her, he's not going to be honest about where he was. And from what I've read, you know, he had shut off some of his navigational tracking systems. So that seems to be an intentional thing. And within that gap of it being shut off, where could he have moved, even if it was accidental? So, you know, when we do a search for someone that went off the back of a boat and drowned in a large lake in Oakland County, oftentimes in an accident situation, where they went in the water is a critical piece of information. And they don't even know it because of the panic and the situation. And so we have to then do a grid search in a lake. Imagine in the ocean.
Oh, I cannot imagine. But apparently one U.S. official familiar, you know, here's the problem in all these things. No one is at the moment that I'm aware of, nobody that is feet on the ground, or however you want to put it, are being allowed to actually speak about this or any information. But supposedly, again, an official familiar with the investigation says the new digital forensic evidence appears to undercut Brian Hooker's account of the wife's disappearance. And you were spot on when you said, look, if the guy did something, he's going to try to throw him off the scent no matter what. So it would go without saying that he would give different locations. And now they're saying that they have some better idea from some GPS data from one of Brian Hooker's devices.
Yep.
That shows movements in areas that he never said they were at.
100%. And that begins to go to the credibility of his story. And as you know, you've got a husband and wife out on a boat and one only comes back. The first suspect is, you know, is this truly an accident? And that raises an eyebrow automatically. And once you have conflicting information, digital footprint or otherwise, that doesn't align with their story of what happened, then, you know, it raises all sorts of red flags.
Right. So there are now all sorts of red flags. And the good news is that a U.S. Coast Guard cutter has arrived in Marsh Harbor. And I would hope this would happen, but it has, that the Bahamian government has granted permission to send, they can send divers to canvas previously unsearched areas. So, I mean, that's what they need to do, and that's what they're going to do. And what does your gut tell you, Mike Bouchard, the chances of a better result here?
I think it's going to be difficult to find, not impossible, but very difficult in an ocean environment versus, you know, even a lake, it's difficult. But in an ocean environment, you've got different kinds of life and the kinds of things that they may be doing without getting graphic to that body. Hmm. If the potential is, though, that if there's something left, and let's delve into the possibility if he did it intentionally and tied her down with something, then you may, on a side scan sonar and with diver participation, be able to see something you want to look at. And, you know, if there's something that has a rope or a weight and even a little bit left, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. then they have the ability to, okay, this doesn't add up at all. But it's gonna be a challenge.
All right. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, it's not your county, but you pay attention and you work with everybody. Your take on Macomb County having to cancel a prom at the last minute after a tip about a possible gun threat. Do you know anything more about that?
No, I saw that in the news, and I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody over there to see what it was. Obviously, I think they made the decision out of an abundance of caution. I just always hate when something has to be canceled because somebody is doing the wrong thing and impairs the ability of people that are doing the right thing and finally achieved a milestone not to have that moment.
Well, let me tell you, you have said it so many times on my show that these kids, and I have no idea if a kid did this, but oftentimes it's kids who think they're being funny and they don't get the message until they find out the really hard way. That it's not funny, no one's laughing, and they're in big, big, real trouble.
100%.
And when they get caught.
It's a crime, and they ought to be held accountable. I mean, it terrorizes parents and students and teachers, and it robs them of what they should be having, which is a joyous, carefree moment celebrating the accomplishment of what they did in school.
Look at the memories they've stolen from these kids. How was your prom? Oh, I didn't have it. It was canceled because there was a threat of a shooter. My God.
Right.
We are better than this.
100%.
Oakland County Sheriff, all-around good guy, Mike Bouchard. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, my friend. You have a great day.
How's your son doing in his campaign?
He's doing great. He's working hard. All the polling that we've seen, internal and external, I have him way up, and he's just focusing on talking to folks and telling them their vision and his hope to serve the district.
Well, he was always a good kid who's become a really good man. Thank you. You and Pam have done a great job. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, sir. You have a great one.
Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard with Paul W. Smith in focus on WJR at 12:43. A rush of AI-related IPOs captivating Wall Street. Anthropic, OpenAI, SpaceX, all making moves toward going public. Is this the boom? Are we going to sit on the sidelines, and are we going to miss out on the latest Apple or NVIDIA, or even going crazier? Back in the my grandfather had a chance to buy a GM, and he bought some other car company that doesn't exist anymore. Hey, does it go back to the chances at the beginning of GM or Ford or any of those things? Let's talk to my money guy, David Sowerby, Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora Bloomfield Hills. When I saw this, David, I thought, I got to call David and ask, are we on the precipice of greatness and we all better jump in? Or what do you suggest?
Tread lightly. Buyer beware. Those would be the bumper stickers, Paul.
Tread lightly, buyer beware. Look, I mean, there was a time I couldn't even imagine anyone would be standing in line to buy a company that had $13 billion in losses since the beginning of 2023. $13 billion in losses for SpaceX.
And it will be a hot IPO, to say the least. The company's going to raise $75 billion. We'll see if they price it at $135, what it trades at when it first begins trading and people can start to buy it themselves. But here's one real important statistic. If I look at some of the largest IPOs in the last 20 years, from Alibaba to Meta, which is Facebook, General Motors, Snap, Uber, a year after their initial IPO, the average share price was down 25%. So that's why buyer beware and tread lightly. As much as I'm excited about the SpaceX IPO, like everybody else, the history says you might be better being patient here before you dip yourself in the pool and be a buyer.
It does sound like keeping your powder dry is a pretty good decision. If history repeats itself, and it often does, that it's down 25% from the price you could buy it for when it first came out. And there's the key, too. David Sowerby with us, Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora Bloomfield Hills. Why is it so hard for us, the average person, to buy any of these IPOs right away? Why are they, like, already sold out to other people before we get a chance to step in?
Well, the selling agents, those investment bankers who are doing the underwriting, they will get allocated shares. And then investment people will put in an interest in receiving the shares at the IPO offering. And traditionally, those are large investment firms. Institutional buyers will be given the biggest chunk. There will be some allocation to retail investors, but it's smaller than the big institutional funds. And then when it begins to trade, then there will be the natural buy and sell, and people can start to buy it themselves if they weren't granted shares on the IPO. It'll be fast and frenzy. That much I know in the first 24 hours. But as I, you know, use an example like this. Meta did their IPO. A year later, they were down 31%. I remember it distinctly. The stock sold off. There was a lot of hype. But then eventually, if Meta could stand on its own two legs, it became a very good company eventually. But in initial IPOs, it's really hard to make an assessment on who's going to make money in the first couple of weeks.
Well, look at Anthropic. They announced its initial public offering plans in a brief statement at the beginning of the week, said they had not determined how many shares to sell or at what price. But the company also said last week it's already raised $65 billion from private in a deal that brought its total value to just under, well, it was $965
billion. And it goes Anthropic, OpenAI, that the hype is starting to escalate. I remember distinctly in 1999, early 2000, in the neweconomy.com, IPOs were fast and furious. They were doubling within a short time period. Years later, they didn't sustain themselves. I don't want to call this exactly like we saw in the dot-com era of 1999, but it is a yellow flag that that markets peak when you get a flurry of IPOs that may not be justified going public because what's their long-term profitability?
And as far as we know, many people are saying these are trillion-dollar debuts. Do you think that's the case across the board?
Probably not. I'm forever the optimist. The glass is more than half full for me, but it goes back to buyer beware. And in the case of an Anthropic or an OpenAI, it's going to be a little bit like Netflix, which is how much will the average consumer pay monthly for expanded services and their favorite AI tool, as well as companies? And it's going to be just like how many subscribers are there in Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus? We're going to have to assess this. I'm a big believer in AI. It's going to be a big productivity enhancer to the economy. We're already starting to see that. But it's always, what's the price and what's the valuation I'm paying relative to future profits?
And still plenty of people. You know Netflix. You know those things because you turn it on, you watch, and you say, wow, this is great. Still, a lot of us don't know enough about AI yet to really understand. We know it's here. We know it's changing our lives. We just don't fully understand it yet. David Sowerby helps us understand as the Managing Director, Portfolio Manager at Ancora Bloomfield. Thank you, David, for your personal help and your professional help here on the air for my listeners. We appreciate it, David. Thank you.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
We continue in focus, middle of the week. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. Stay with us. All right, hour number two of focus, relentless positive radio here. On this Wednesday, middle of the week, happy birthday to you. If no one has told you that, now I'm telling you that. And we had mentioned earlier, MDOT's Diane Cross, the traffic boss, celebrating her birthday today. You know, you can stream us, and certainly you can come back and podcast us at WJR.com. And I hope you have the free WJR app. We've got our Facebook and YouTube pages streaming video of us live right now. Tune in for that. And it's great to follow WJR All Talk. Kevin Dietz having a ball out there playing a little golf. And JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani will be Marie Osborne in for Ryan today as he's off doing some nice side work, if you will. Now, if you do watch us in the live streaming, we do know that the Fisher Building appears to be the leaning tower of the Fisher Building. And honestly, I brought it up several times. Nobody has really given me a good reason as to why that is the case. Now, I'll ask our executive producer, all questions land at his feet. Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, training Andres Hyde, and then Rich Luzinski. The Richmeister with our WJR Traffic and Weather First. Can you tell me, maybe you told me before and I just don't remember, why is the Golden Tower like it's falling over?
I think it's a tribute to Italy.
That's kind of a weak answer, but that's okay if that's what you really believe.
I mean, it's an
Ray
answer.
Did Ray do that? Did Ray Templin put that together?
I think so.
He's an artist, and maybe he's taking artistic license?
Maybe.
I just don't know.
I think maybe it's so we will talk about it and cause a buzz.
Well, it's happened. And we have do you know is tilted in your picture there? I look at it all the time. U.S. job openings surged in April to 7.6 million. That's the highest since May of 2024. The job openings exceeded expectations, 8 million. Six does that. Decrease, but the number getting their jobs also declined, indicating a mixed sentiment about job prospects. I'm not sure exactly what that means. I think it. Good news, they'll try to put something in there to make it sound like it's so that's be aware of that when you hear the slanted news. Big, I don't have it in front of me right now, but Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes?
Yes.
You guys don't watch it. I still watch 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
It's aimed at an older demographic. And now they've got people coming in who want to fix that, which means they're about to kill 60 Minutes because they should embrace the older demographics that they have. Don't even get me started on radio and how I've been saying that for years.
They got rid of their the CBS News radio product, too.
Yeah, that is sad in itself. That started the business on. And I worked in Philadelphia going up against his first radio station, KYW. I happened to be working in Philly at an FM talk station, WWDB FM, one of the few FM talk stations in the country at the time. Anyway, Scott Pelley has been fired. But here's the thing, and guys in my business become very big and forget they are employees. That's it. It's plain and simple. I've never forgotten I'm an employee. Remember.
Yeah, I think Scott Pelley kind of made up his mind he wasn't going to work there anymore when he went into that meeting.
Well, he was making, I'm told, $7 million or so a year.
Right. So
for a lot of years.
Yeah, so he had the money, too. if
that's it, that's that blank money that we've always heard about. I want to work till I have blank money, and then
right.
I can do what? I don't know.
And tell them blank.
But he publicly criticized the news magazine's new leadership. So you're right. He couldn't possibly have thought that they're going to listen to him criticizing them and killing 60 Minutes and all that stuff. And he couldn't have possibly thought the new editor-in-chief, Barry Weiss, was going to embrace him and say, oh, well, thank you for the
right
saying we're about to kill 60 Minutes. We love you, Scott, and we're going to keep you here. Well, that didn't happen. Now, the big question is, was he fired for cause by publicly bringing negative views to 60 Minutes? I'm going to say as a lawyer, well, I was pre-law, you know. I'm going to say as a non-lawyer that he probably was fired for cause. They'll be able to get that to hold up. You cannot stand on a rooftop shouting about how bad your company is and then pretend that you're not hurting the company or bringing disfavor to the company. That would happen for any of us.
Yeah.
It's in our paperwork somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a big outcry of people shocked or mad that Scott Pelley got fired. I think there's some people saying, hey, good for him, because he didn't like what was going on. He told them about it, and he knew he was going to be let go. But I don't think there's a whole lot of people who are saying they don't understand why he got fired.
Well, those people don't watch 60 Minutes, mm-hmm. sadly. Still, I think if they mess with the CBS Sunday morning, then they do have to have their heads examined, because I think it's I don't look at ratings, but I think it's one of the best, I would hope, successful shows on television, CBS Sunday morning, even though they still have the same slant against conservatism and the right and Republic, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, here's a story that I just can't believe. A couple of guys, Vincent Munster and Claude Quay, from the National Institutes of Health, they're researchers there. They've been charged with conspiracy to smuggle monkeypox into the United States and charged with making false statements to federal law enforcement. Munster and Quay arrived here at Metropolitan Airport, our airport, with a large black plastic case containing 113 vials, including deactivated monkeypox virus, chickenpox virus, and human DNA, which they falsely described as diagnostic and testing equipment. I don't remember the story, but it obviously must have made big local news.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it, too.
The case involves dangerous and unlawful smuggling of viral material and attempts to mislead investigators, according to Assistant U.S. Attorney Dawn Runyon. Marcus Sykes, Special Agent in Charge of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, stated that the case reflects, quote, a breach of the public's trust by individuals with safeguarding federal programs. So here's where I have a problem. Good for law enforcement in catching them. Good for them. But now Munster and Quay each face just up to 5 years in prison if convicted? 5 years in prison for bringing in things that could be used against the people of the United States of America by causing way bigger problems than we had with COVID, which China sent us. And they get 5 years. If we're lucky, they can go to jail for 5 years. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
they
seems light.
Go to jail, if they're that lucky, for the rest of their lives. So no one, well, you know, but the worst that'll happen is I get 5 years off and China or Russia or whoever, North Korea, who's ever paying me to sneak these terrible things into the United States, will pay me a bonus. I don't get that. I don't get it. All right. Anything else? Anything else we should be... Oh, did you see that Uber released their list of strangest lost and found items?
No.
I can't believe it. And Kim sent this to me. Here's what some of the items left in an Uber. Dentures with two teeth. Breast milk.
Oh, boy.
Donny Osmond group picture. Ankle monitor. 420 donuts?
Wow.
How can you misplace 420 donuts in the back of an Uber?
Yeah, if you're the Uber driver, wouldn't you be like, you forgot your donuts?
Maybe you wouldn't. Oxygen tank. Brand new mini fridge. You go out and you buy a mini fridge. You take the Uber home with it. And the whole reason you got the Uber was to go buy the mini fridge and you leave it in the car. Here's other things that Uber has released as their top weird things left in their cars. Live fish, two trees. $100 worth of Temu items, a 75-gallon fish tank without the live fish, a dishwasher, a welding helmet, a toboggan, a police radio, a coffee table, handcuffs, two wedding gowns, 20 pounds of duck sausage, a propane tank, a double-door oven, a kitchen faucet, everything but the kitchen sink.
Right.
And a what they call sleep apnea machine, which I have a great experience with. It's called a CPAP. Left in, there's a guy who's not getting, or gal, who's not getting proper sleep now. All of that left in the back of an Uber. Reminds me of Disney, when Disney used to put out the things they'd find under a roller coaster, which included teeth, dentures, wheelchairs. I mean, people left behind. Anyway, that's Uber. Did you find that interesting?
I wonder how they...
Well, I'm just... phone call during that, but everything interesting, I think, was interesting.
I'm just trying to figure out how they got a toboggan and a stove into an Uber.
And a dishwasher.
Must have been an Uber XL.
Must have been. You pay extra for that, don't you? It's why I always call Metro Cars and get Leo, call me Lath. I call him Lath, they call him Leo. I don't know how that ever happened. But I'm depending on him to take me to Cars and Cigars, where we're going to have a special broadcast tomorrow. My gosh, it came up quick. Tomorrow, we're on the air from 4 to 6, correct? 4 to 6 tomorrow?
Yep.
4 to 6 in the position you would usually hear. Our dear friend, why can't I think of his name right now? Who are we in for tomorrow? We're in for...
Dave Llewellyn. Sorry, I'm on the phone, but we got Dave Llewellyn.
No. What? No. We're in for...
You're in for Mitch. Dave Llewellyn
Mitch
is in for
God,
you.
I had a complete block. And what about Dave Llewellyn? Oh, he's in on our show. Okay, so noon to 2, Dave Llewellyn, the great Dave, who we used to work with together at this radio station many years ago. Dave Llewellyn will be on noon to 2. We're on, weirdly, Mitch Albom's time period, 4 to 6, leading into Cars and Cigars, which I will once again be the master of ceremonies for. It's a little confusing about why and what's going on. Just be tuned in, and you'll be happy. But okay. I don't have a program to share with you because I don't have one myself. It is 1:17 at WJR. Well, the NBA Finals tip off tonight, 8:30, as the San Antonio Spurs and the New York Knicks meet in Game 1 at Frost Bank Center in San Antonio. The first team to win four games in the best-of-seven series will be crowned NBA champion. For longtime fans, there's some unfinished business. The teams last met in the NBA Finals in 1999, and the Spurs beat the Knicks. The Knicks have not forgotten about that. Brett Galley is here, former WXY-TV sports director, three-time Michigan Sportscaster of the Year. He has launched the Brad Galley Show on YouTube and Facebook. He did a great job up at Mackinac at Sandy Baruja's little gathering there with the Detroit Regional Chamber at Arn Tellem's big dinner. And I told you that night, Brad, you did a nice job, and I meant it.
And seeing you off the stage there, it was like shaking the hand of the Godfather without any mafia ties. It meant a lot, Paul, having you give that seal of approval. But that room was pretty cool. Being in there with a couple of gold medal winning champions, Megan Keller, Connor Hellebuck from the men's and women's teams, and then Dusty May, Tom Izzo sitting on the same stage talking about their hopes to get their team to the Final Four in Detroit. It was a great room, and I appreciate your support.
Well, you did a great job, and you were filling in for a position that for the last several years Mike Tirico has handled. And those are big shoes to fill, and you more than filled them and did a great job, Brad.
Well, thanks very much. I always say that to Mike. It's not the first time I've been lucky enough to be his backup, but I thank him for being the busiest man in show business so that they have to go to the bullpen every once in a while, and I'm always ready when I get called upon.
Well, you've done a tremendous job, and you've made a big change. I mentioned three-time Michigan Sportscaster of the Year, multiple Emmy Award winner, 2024-2025 Best Sportscast winner from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. Tell me this addition to your duties or this change to what you kind of came up the ranks doing, where you realize now how important it is to have your own show and have it be on YouTube and Facebook rather than on the traditional television networks.
I think it was twofold. I could not have been able to do this and even think about doing this without the wonderful support that I've had over 15 years working at Channel 7 with the amazing people there, and also the community support. Like, my family grew up a Channel 7 family, and so that was my goal, to work there forever. And I got to work with Don Shane and Tom Lydon, and I'll leave it at the sports department, because if I continued to say names, we could be here for another hour. But just an amazing group of people that this community trusts. And I've always been engaged in social media and connecting with people on TV, yes, but on other social media platforms. And as I continued to build my following and saw a real connection there and being an authentic voice in what is a crazy space. I mean, you log on to Facebook and there are, you know, these warped stories and things are fake, and to be a verified check mark, and for people to be relying upon me as a source, I thought, you know, what if I were able to do this on my own? I have two young kids, a wife I love. And if I were to have better hours, but also continue to grow and give people better content, that trio there, Paul, as I explored it, I landed here. And so stepping away from a station I wanted to work at for 50 years was tough, but I'm really excited about this. And I think Detroit sports fans will benefit, because I'm going to give them coverage daily. We're going to do big interviews weekly, and I'm really fired up about it.
This is huge, because frankly, I was going to say this just isn't done. Somebody doesn't leave a really successful, good television position to try this. Well, that's wrong. You are doing that. It's a risk. Generally, after people either retire or leave by mutual agreement, which means generally they were fired, they mm-hmm. might try to do this. You're stepping away from a very successful career at Channel 7, and now we have, starting June 1st, you began the Brad Galley Show, and my gosh, it's weird. So, I mean, you've been on the air, you're on there, people can find you, I guess, by going to the Brad Galley Show on YouTube at youtube.com/Brad Galley Show, additional content on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok. And you're so good at what you do, you already have some sponsors. And, of course, that's what you need to be able to fund doing the show and make a living.
I will be very frank with you. There's no chance that I could do this without sponsors. And Brian Moran and Moran Buick GMC of Sterling Heights, they've opened up. They've been a Chevy dealer forever, and they've opened up. And the customer service there, through the roof, we've been friends. And he has said forever, listen, that day is going to come and I got your back, and we're going to open up a new dealership at the same time. So I could not do it without his support. Todd Flood, who I know you all know well at JR, is behind me with Flood Law as they continue to expand their impact on this community and helping people out. So Flood Law has jumped on as a sponsor. There's no chance we can do this without them, at least at the beginning, right? I mean, what they're doing and what they believe in and where they know people are. I mean, you read off very kindly, and I appreciate it, like where you can find in the URL for YouTube. But, you know, I watch my nieces, my nephews, my cousins that are younger than I am open up apps, and the way they scroll through things, Paul, we're just meeting them everywhere where they are.
Right.
TikTok, Instagram. I mean, the growth on those platforms in just the 3 days we've launched with all of this has been tremendous. So people going, oh, great, he's where I am. I'm going to give him a follow. It's been incredible. And that's where the interviews will be. We sat down with Barry Sanders and Jahmyr Gibbs together, the Hall of Famer and now the Lions running back together. That was one of our interviews. We went down memory lane with Lou Whitaker and Alan Trammell. The Tigers legends have been together for 50 years. And then we sat down with Dusty May, the Michigan National Championship basketball coach, in his gym where he has only three returning players from that championship team. And I'm not going to say he looked tired because he's a good-looking young man, but he's ready to get back to work with his guys. And so that's what we're starting off with, and I'm going to be relentless in continuing to fill the appetite of sports fans here.
Moran Buick, GMC of Sterling Heights, and as you put it, our friend Todd Flood, Flood Law. Quickly, because we're out of time, a quick reaction. How do you think Michigan's going to do this year, Michigan football?
I think a lot's up in the air in East Lansing and Ann Arbor. New coaches. I think it'll be dictated by the defenses in both cities to see how they can do and hold it up there because they both have some young offenses. So,
so
we'll
Michigan
see how start off with
MSU.
Those defenses.
All right, Michigan and MSU. And, of course, basketball. You mentioned Dusty. How about our Tigers?
Two wins in a row. They're off to a hot start today. Listen, if they can get healthy and get rolling, I'm an optimist. We'll see, Paul. It'll
how
be a better
Lions?
Summer if they're doing well.
Lions and Red Wings.
Lions turn things around, win the division, and are a Super Bowl contender. I have no doubt about that. And if the Red Wings can pull off a big trade, we'll have playoff hockey again in this town next year.
Find him at the Brad Galley Show on YouTube and Facebook, youtube.com/Brad Galley Show. Additional content on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok. We wish you nothing but the best of luck, Brad.
You're a gentleman. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, as we continue in Focus on WJR 131. Ryan is out. Marie Osborne is in. Tomorrow, Dave Llewellyn will be doing my show, noon to 2, Focus with Paul W. Smith. We'll be with Dave Llewellyn, who you love. And we will be in where Mitch usually is, but we're not doing the Mitch Albom show, with all due respect. We're doing a special Cars and Cigars show from 4 to 6. Then I'll go to the stage and do the MC duties I always do. And then Lomas and AB will be on the air like they were the last couple of years, also from Cars and Cigars, starting at 6 o'clock. I hope you can follow all that. I couldn't for a moment, but now I can. I wrote it down so that I would remember exactly what we're doing. It's a homecoming, ladies and gentlemen. There she is in my The Detroit News, the award-winning The Detroit News, just like she used to be. Ingrid Jacques is here, who is a columnist for USA Today, but because of the ownership change, now her column is right here in front of me in The Detroit News. Ingrid, welcome home.
Thank you, Paul. It is nice to be back occasionally in the Detroit News.
Well, it's great to have you. You never left Michigan. This is your home.
No.
Even though you're a national correspondent now with USA Today, we'll be able to read you, I hope, often in the Detroit News. Now, you have a story that maybe for the first time in a long time, we may not see eye to eye on. Talk about your column that's in the opinion section today under the headline, Kill Switch Law Means Your Next Car Could Be Watching You.
Okay, well, we may agree more than you think, but my contention with this new provision, which was included in a 2021 giant infrastructure package, would require all new cars to have technology that would detect whether the driver was impaired. And federal regulators are still figuring out exactly what that would look like, but they have been working on it the last few years, and this could be going into effect as early as next year, requiring automakers to include this technology. And I think it's a pretty major change and something that would affect pretty much every driver who buys a new car. And I just think there should have been a more transparent discussion about what it means, what it's going to look like, what safeguards are in place to protect us from government surveillance, unnecessary collection on what we're doing. So I take most issue with the transparency, but my family's been personally affected by drunk driving. I had an aunt who was killed by a drunk driver on Christmas morning many years ago. It was a horrific thing. So I have 100% empathy with other families who are in this position. And I think there are probably other avenues we could look at for protecting innocent drivers. But this just seems like such a major change.
Well, let me tell you, I have had personal experience. I was not driving. I was in the passenger seat. I like to think that I would have seen it coming because I always am looking in my rearview mirror, especially when stopped at a red light in the evening. But we were hit from behind by a drunk driver. And it's a horrific experience in every way, not the least of which you could be killed, of course, just as you mentioned, and as a family killed in, I think they were returning home from a vacation in Florida, which you write about, and that Congresswoman Debbie Dingell got all over on this. But it led me to say many, many years ago, in Michigan, we let drivers drive drunk until they kill someone. And I think that really was the case. It may not be anymore, but it was the case. So I'm asking you, of drunk drivers, the human cost of drunk driving, as you put it, what's the downside now of having a kill switch? Because I'm all for the idea that if you get a drunk person behind the wheel, there's something in the car that keeps them from driving. I'm all for that.
Theoretically, yes. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be any technology, but I think there needs to be much more open discussion and debate about what this is going to look like and what it's going to mean for all of us. I mean, should every driver have to give up some freedom because of the bad decisions of some other people? I just think we have to consider these questions. And also, I don't know exactly what this technology is going to look like. It's supposed to be, quote, passive, so I don't think you'd have to blow into anything to start your car, but it's going to be tracking whether your car will be tracking whether it thinks you're okay to operate. So, and I mean, what if it malfunctions and it turns off your car? Because that's part of what this technology can do, either stop the car from running or create some other impediment. And there's all kinds of other impaired driving now. I know I smell pot when I'm driving down the road. It's kind of concerning. So it's like, how would it track that? I just think there's a lot of questions.
There's certainly a lot of questions, and it's newer technology. But I've been led to believe that our cars are already rolling computers that collect a tremendous amount of information about us. And that's just the American cars and the technology we're aware of. Just imagine the cars from China and other countries that are in our country. Who knows what kind of technology and the way they're capturing information about us? I mean, it's crazy.
And I mean, I think we're not too far away from every car having some sort of autonomous driving capability. I mean, that's where things are going. And when I see people texting and doing all other kinds of bad things while they're driving, I think autonomous vehicles can't come fast enough. But I do have concerns about this technology right now.
All right. Well, that's part of your job and why you do it so well. Ingrid Jacques, who is, of course, officially a columnist nationwide for USA Today, but she's back in today's Detroit News in the opinion section, and we're glad to have her back home. Thank you, Ingrid.
Thank you so much.
She's so good. Ingrid Jacques, columnist extraordinaire, and back now with the new ownership at the Detroit News, a USA Today company newspaper. She's going to show up here from time to time, and that's good news. As we continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith right here on WJR. All righty. It's been a crazy busy day. Lots of good things. I'll repeat one of the most important things, and you heard it here first years ago. Sorbitol, like most all of the fake sweeteners, is bad for you. I've been saying it for years. Science has finally caught up with me, and it's bad, they say, for your liver. You don't need sorbitol. Look at the fine print. It's in way more things than you ever would have imagined, and I'm not sure why. But avoid sorbitol, and frankly, I say all of the fake sweeteners. You don't need them.
It's probably cheaper, that's why.
Well, it's probably cheaper. They use it as a binder. I mean, there are all these pills that no one's going to chew to find out if it's sweet or not. They just swallow it. But now they're swallowing sorbitol, which is not good for you. It's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show guitar tour to Pine Knob Music Theater. That's August 28th. And you could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of the great Metro, $100 to fabulous Buddy's Pizza. To enter, download the free WJR mobile app. That's right, download the free WJR mobile app. Find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. Text the secret keyword to 800-859-0957. For more information, WJR.com. All right, so that you understand what's going on here. Tomorrow, our show will be on Focus with Paul W. Smith, but with Dave Llewellyn from noon to 2. Then, of course, Ryan Armani then comes on. Then from 2 to 4. Then we are back on the air from right now to 4 to 6 tomorrow in Mitch's place. But we're doing a special Cars and Cigars show. I don't want you to think that we're doing the Mitch Albom show. I used to fill in for Mitch on his show, and I loved it. Being with his whole team, it was a lot of fun. But that's not what we're doing. Tomorrow it's Cars and Cigars. And then following that, starting at 6 o'clock, Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino will do a very special Cars and Cigars sports wrap. So that's what we've got going on right now. Coming up, we have the JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani with Marie Osborne in for Ryan. Marie, are you ready to go?
I am. I'm having a nice conversation in the studio, so you interrupted us, but that's okay.
Oh, well, I don't mean to ever let anything on the air get in the way of things that are going on off the air. Because, frankly, I've worked at radio stations, WABC in New York, where off-air conversations were more highly regarded than what we were doing on the air.
100%, right?
Right.
Well, you know, this is when we talk about the important stuff, like what you're doing this weekend, you know, and Beth Ann was in here where, you know, we'd like to talk about things, you know, shopping and, you know, stuff that we're doing on the weekend and stuff.
But unlike Scott Pelley, I never went public and criticized my bosses. Because
are you going to go down that road, Paul?
You cannot do that. We work for people. We don't own the station. We don't control many of the things the station does or doesn't do. We are employees, and I'm a happy employee. I'm happy to be an employee. I'm happy to be at this radio station off and on for 50 years. And so I was happy to be at WABC mostly. But I never went public. And Scott, he's got plenty of money. He can do that. He was making like $7 million a year for years.
Well, we're going to be talking coming up in the show about this very topic. We're also going to open the line so people can chat with us and tell us what they're thinking about that particular story.
I hope that people weigh in because not enough of us still watch 60 Minutes. I still think the CBS Sunday Morning show with Jane Pauley is one of the best shows on television. I don't know how 60 Minutes is doing, but now they want to blow it up, get rid of all those old people.
Well, you know, I will tell you, they are doing pretty well. I mean, they...
Go fast, because we're running out of time.
They are still one of the top-rated shows. That's all I'm going to say.
See you tomorrow, 4 to 6, Cars and Cigars. Regards, Paul W. Smith.